time, Mom. Lorelai, Christopher is in town.
What? I didn't know. Coincidentally, I'm sitting across from an amazing Christopher hologram.
Well, I just had this wonderful idea. Christopher's parents are in town, too. You remember Strobe and Francine, don't you?
Yes, the Schnickelfritzes.
The who?
The Haydens.
Well, I called them up and invited them to dinner. They said that they are free to join us all on Friday night.
Hey, this is Jess.
And this is Sandra.
This is Emily. Welcome to today's town meeting. And now...
It's time for Sandra's Sucky Summaries.
Buckle up, kids. It's a long one. We start the episode with Rory building a blanket bed for the passing through Christopher. You know, her dad she barely recognized last episode. And while Rory is excited, Lorelai is a little bit more realistic. Chris, on the other hand, remarks that he just took the worst shower of his life and tells Rory that his relationship with the girl he had deemed the one was already over. There's talk of extra credit, a softball game starring friend Dean, and Lorelai making men really happy. But the most important thing discovered is that Christopher wants to be in Rory's life for the first time in her 16 years. At the softball game, Luke and Dean both suck at playing, and Kirk has no problem telling them so. Chris and Dean meet and talk bikes for half a second. That is until Luke calls Dean back to continue their lackluster game. I'm sorry, isn't Dean supposed to be an athlete? Wasn't Luke a baseball player? Am I missing something here? At the inn, we learn Michelle knows how to laugh. Suki is great at making desserts and listening to gossip at the same time. And Lorelai complains about Christopher until she stops. After all, he's Christopher. Speaking of which, Rory gives him a tour around town where he's basically accosted by Miss Patty, and then the gossip train begins. From Taylor to Jackson to Andrew, everyone wants to know Christopher, and all he wants to do is make Rory happy. And what makes Rory happier than books? Unfortunately, Chris's card is declined. Awkward. But not as awkward as Jackson using the term money nose and then running away at being caught. At Luke's, Luke tells Lorelai Chris did a good job impregnating her with Rory, so you know, the awkwardness continues and doesn't stop. Emily calls Christopher to talk to Lorelai to tell her Christopher's in town, and since he's here, and so are his parents, well, let's just say a whole family reunion is planned. At the dinner, Lorelai and Christopher are dubbed the Drama King and Queen of Connecticut. Emily's excited to see Christopher, Richard's excited to see Christopher. I mean, after all, he has a splash of greatness and oh, that musical talent he has and obviously passed down to Rory. He is a very talented man. And once Christopher's parents arrive, the party really begins. Lorelai tries to make a joke and fails. Christopher is finally criticized and Rory curtsies. It doesn't get any better for her as the night goes on. There's a huge amount of pressure on her, and she panics. Thankfully, Lorelai is there to scream, "I hate President Bush, Queen," to a group of Republicans, and that's when the party all but dies. Things take a turn towards the nasty. Straub attacks Lorelai, Francine is focused on Christopher's tie, and Emily just wants to be led to the dining room. Richard tries to defend his daughter and points out both Chris and Lorelai made a mistake, but Straub doubles down. Lorelai dragged Christopher down, Lorelai seduced Christopher, and Lorelai kept the baby and ruined Christopher's future. And well, that's when Richard snaps. Old man versus old man, ready, set, match. And suddenly, Chris and Lorelai are 16 again. Lorelai tries to thank her father for defending her, and he tells her he was defending the Gilmore name. It's obvious Richard is still furious at Lorelai and Christopher for ruining their lives, as well as disappearing for 16 years. It's emotional as Emily telling Rory that although there's been a lot of talk of disappointments, Rory is not one of them. 32-year-olds Chris and Lorelai still regress to 16, meet on Lorelai's balcony, and then do a little more than talk. And hey, oh yeah, Lorelai promised to help Luke paint the diner last episode. Whoops. At home, Lorelai tells Rory she has no regrets about having her, but it's obvious she has regrets about Christopher. It does take her an entire night to remember Luke, but by then, he's too angry to listen. Lorelai, defeated, goes back home and says no to coffee, which honestly should have at least given Christopher some kind of pause. Instead, he asks her to marry him. Lorelai says no, they argue about music, and Christopher accuses Rory of ratting him out. Christopher wants to get to know each other as adults, except he can't even answer the first question Lorelai asks. In the end, the answer is still no, but Lorelai wants Christopher to be Rory's dad. For real, this time. The episode ends with Lorelai making things right with Luke, painting the diner exactly how he wanted. And that was Christopher's return. Let's discuss.
This episode very clearly sets up, like, how this entire relationship is gonna be, I feel like.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, there's no figuring out where Christopher fits in. It's straight up, no, he's a garbage dad.
Yep.
Starts off with, he's never been to Stars Hollow. Oh, his hair is shorter. I like that. Like, have you not seen him that long?
No. Well, Easter. And it's now, I guess, Memorial Day or past Memorial Day?
I was trying to think of that when that was mentioned.
The timeline is kind of messed up here. Mm-hmm. But okay, Lorelai is, I mean, she's being realistic. She knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Rory is just so excited. Her dad's in town.
I stand by what I said on last episode. She didn't even recognize him at first. Like, was his hair down to his waist? Past his shoulders? Like, how long was this hair that she did not recognize her dad?
Yeah. And it's honestly heartbreaking because Rory is so excited, but
yeah.
Lorelai knows, you know, Lorelai knows what's going to happen before it happens. And Rory makes him that bed on the couch with, like, every blanket in the house.
It's like a foot thick.
And what's sad is that as people who have watched the show, we know where this relationship is going to go, the Rory and Christopher relationship, mm-hmm. and how dark it gets. Not dark. Maybe that's the wrong
Crappy.
Word. How sad it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, Rory's still in the stage where you still want to believe in your dad.
Yeah.
Like, you still want to hope and feel like he's that dad figure that you expect. Mm-hmm. Like, she hasn't been smacked in the face with his failures quite yet. I feel like that might change by the end of this episode.
Well.
Yeah. Lorelai has done a really good job of protecting Rory, I think, from all of the potential negatives of her family, mm-hmm. you know, like, by keeping her from, not keeping her from Christopher, but, like, by keeping that relationship positive, because I think, you know, speaking as a person whose parents were not divorced, I know that there's a lot of animosity in a lot of divorces or situations where parents are not together, and you don't get that feeling from Lorelai at all. You know, she's not nasty about Chris. Clearly, she is still hurt about the situation, but she doesn't bring it to Rory.
Yeah.
I hated that whole scene of, like, oh, the man's in the house, so he's gonna come fix the bad things. And, like, come on, man. And Lorelai has been shown to be handy.
Yeah.
She fixed the refrigerator, or she tried to. I don't know. She took everything out of the refrigerator.
And not yet, obviously, either, but we find out in the future, too, like, Luke is the pure handyman in this house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is her birthday gift every year, is a whole day of work on her house.
Yeah. Honestly, it reminds me of, I was sitting in on a job interview for a position that would have been a supervisor when I was in college, and one of the interviewees went around the workplace and started pointing out things they would change. Like, oh, this doorknob rattles. Ooh, I'd fix that right away. Oh, this door sticks. I'd fix that right away. Leaves a really bad taste in your mouth when somebody just comes into a space and is immediately like, I'm going to fix this. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If we tell you it's your place to fix it, that's one thing.
Right.
But to come in and immediately point out flaws and be like, I'm going to fix that is totally different. If Lorelai had said, oh, hey, Chris, while you're here, could you help out? It would be a totally different story, but it bugged me too.
But at the same time, I'm assuming Chris had a very similar upbringing as Lorelai in the rich household. Like, oh, he wouldn't be taught how to do all of these things.
No.
No.
And we also don't see him fix the shower.
Do any of these things.
So, I'm not even sure it actually happens.
Yeah.
Oh, it probably doesn't.
Nope.
So Rory goes to bed, and Chris and Lorelai have their talk about how she's always had the door open and, well, now he wants to use it. Like, 16 years old, she's done. Like, now? Now that all the hard work is done? Like, obviously she has her drama that she goes through, but, like, the sleepless nights, the potty training, the getting her involved in sports or school or town or whatever, like, all of that hard work is done.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come in and finish it off and take credit.
Well, I mean, it's a point that is brought up a couple of times is that, you know, he's kind of her pal, you know?
Yes.
Like, at this point, she is kind of, she's a young adult, essentially. I mean, she's a teenager, but she needs a friend more than she needs a dad, or he is more of a friend to her than he is a dad. Mm-hmm. And
well, the exact line is another pal she can rely on or depend on.
Mm-hmm.
And does he think that's what a dad is?
Does he think that's what Lorelai is? Like, what is that? Yeah. What is he referencing?
I don't know, because we just saw in the last episode, Lorelai is not a pal. Or not. Mm-mm. Concert Interrupt Us, right, was the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is a mom first, well, and then a pal second.
She plays the pal role really well. And I think on the surface, that's most of what you see between the two of them, mm-hmm. is two best friends. Obviously mother and daughter. But I feel like best friends is right there with the two. And I feel like the best friend's role kind of overshadows the mother and daughter sometimes.
Yeah.
So that might be what Chris is getting off of that.
I can see what you're talking about. Because it's obviously he's not a pal with his own dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So where does he think that, I don't know, I'm just, maybe he watches a TV show where the dad is more of a pal. He's like, oh, that's what a dad is.
Ugh.
Let's talk about 16-year-old Chris and Lorelai crashing a Porsche.
The day they get it.
The day Chris gets it.
Yes.
If they were even 16, I don't even know if they mentioned if they were 16. It was just when he got it.
Well, I think it was his, his sweet birthday 16, present. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love a Porsche for my 16th birthday.
I would have loved anything for my 16th birthday.
Man.
I mean, that's,
I don't
like,
remember my 16th birthday.
That is, I think, yet another glaring example of the privilege that these kids mm-hmm. grew up with, the privilege of their circle, you know, to be able to get and crash a Porsche. And I mean, it's not even a big thing. If I had crashed a Porsche at 16, I would still be paying for that now at 28, you know?
Yep.
So the funny thing is that he's rich enough to have a Porsche, but he's not rich enough to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah.
It's actually Porsche.
Is it Porsche?
Yeah. So he's in that middle. He's still not Logan Huntsberger rich, but he's Gilmore rich. But not really.
Well, he grew up with money. I think there's a difference between growing up with money and then continuing to have money. Because as we learn, Christopher kind of doesn't have money.
Yeah.
So has he been cut off? Is that the implication that his parents are no longer giving him money?
I mean,
I wonder if he pulled a little bit of a Lorelai.
Yeah, kind of like struck out on
and
his
kind
own.
Kind of cutting his parents out. I mean, after our introduction to Strobe and Francine, well,
I don't blame him either.
Yeah, no.
But what I did get from that scene with Lorelai and Chris is that Chris is her first love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you always have a little bit of your heart to your first love. Not always, and not everyone, but a lot of people have that feeling of nostalgia anytime you see mm-hmm. them. And I think that's what this is. It's like she used to love him, and maybe she still does.
Yeah, I know. So when I had my first love, we broke up, and we ended up getting back together a couple years later for a month or two. And I was like, this isn't the same. This isn't, you know, we've changed, we've grown. And then one of my brothers did the exact same thing. He's with his first love for years. They broke up, got back together for like 3 months, and then split for good. I think having that like final couple months to realize that you've changed and grown and it's no longer a good relationship really helped us. But Lorelai never had that.
No.
Lorelai had a baby.
There was no closure.
Well, and we see in the future, she does have that. It's just a very long break in between.
Honestly, for the sake of all of the things that are yet to come in this show, maybe she should have said yes in this episode. You know, get that nightmare out of the way.
And then we could have just been done with it.
I mean, that would have killed Luke and Lorelai. would have gotten together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Together. I mean, it practically kills Luke and Lorelai already. I forgot absolutely heartbreaking this episode is for that, but we'll get to that.
Yes. First, we have to get to a softball game.
The most miserable, sad softball game I've ever seen.
First off, isn't softball just females?
I think there's a different way you pitch, the ball is different. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know sports.
Professional softball leagues, yes, are mostly women, because then you have professional, baseball leagues for men. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's right by any means, softball, like, Sean played in a co-ed and a rec league softball for a long time when we first met.
Yeah.
So I just assume that's what this is.
That was exposing the fact that I do not know sports.
It's such an interesting mix of people that are out there. Like, obviously you have Dean and Luke playing against each other, but, like, there's also another grown man, and there's, like, a teenage girl in the background in, like, a multicolored windbreaker at one point. It's just a real...
It's a community game, right?
It's a co-ed community game, yeah.
Yeah. But, like,
Luke doesn't strike me as the type
baseball player.
No, Scott Patterson.
Canonically, and then...
Yes, yeah, but in Gilmore Girls, he is, too.
In Gilmore Girls, too?
In high school,
he still has, like, a trophy or something.
Oh, Butch Daines. Yes.
Yeah. So Butch Daines is out here playing community softball with children.
And failing. And Dean is, like, a tall guy. I don't know. He looks athletic. Like,
I mean, he's supposed to be.
He plays hockey. Yeah. We find out in the future. At the very least, he plays hockey.
I don't know what's going on in this game.
And then a half hour into playing this game, like, next run wins. I'm like, neither of you have got a run.
Wait, why did Rory and
how
Chris...
How long is this going to go?
Why did Rory and Chris get there half an hour late?
I mean...
Weren't they going to watch this game?
Did you see the rest of the audience? Kirk and two girls?
Like, yeah.
I think that maybe they were showing up as a pity join, you know, like...
To her friends.
This was just that one bleacher. Game. I'm sure there's more bleachers somewhere.
With other small children and random townspeople. And maybe Andrew was there.
So, okay, let's talk about Kirk.
Yeah.
Kirk, who said something very inappropriate, and I disliked it a lot.
So, up to that, I loved heckling Kirk.
Yes.
I thought it was hilarious. It doesn't match Kirk, I feel like, for what we know him to be. But yeah, then he
makes a homophobic joke about where's Luke's husband, or like Luke's husband is whatever.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
And it gets a rise out of Luke, too.
Yes.
Luke is offended enough that he's going to walk off the field and presumably
beat up Kirk.
Yeah.
I would hate to see that.
One of those things that flew in the 2000 that does not fly today.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it was okay in 2000, but it was on TV and it was not uncommon.
Well, in 2002... or in 2000 as well, it was very common. Oh, that's so gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was still a very common saying. Again, not that it's right by any means, but that was like where I was anyway, the main insult or whatever.
Yeah.
Just.
But hey, I mean, shows you how far we've come, right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Very true.
There's still a lot of progress yet to make, but
yeah,
the fact that, you know, we're able to say this wouldn't be in a TV show today.
Yeah,
it's a nice change.
Did you guys notice that it was raining?
Yeah, it was miserable.
Like, and nobody had an umbrella.
No, they were just continuing in the rain.
Everybody was just in their most casual workout adjacent clothes. Like, Dean's got the big, you know, track pants on. Luke's out there in some gray sweatpants, which, hello, we all know what gray sweatpants do. But, like,
I actually have a note about how I love how put together Dean is, even dirty clothes, and how messy Luke is.
Yeah.
Like, Luke looks like a mess.
Luke looks like he's playing.
Don't worry, he makes up for it
community
later.
Community softball with children. Yeah. Like, I can't get over
it's
that.
It's raining. He doesn't want to get his good sweats dirty.
Like, the only thing I can imagine is that it was raining the day of that they were filming, and they couldn't. Like, they had to film, kind of thing.
Yeah, they only had the diamond for so long.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, well, we'll just ignore it. Just keep acting like there's no rain. Meanwhile, getting drenched.
But this is just the start of Christopher's big day out in Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
I did make a note, too, before we move on too much farther, that Dean makes a much better first impression with Chris than he did with Lorelai.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I find that so interesting because I feel like all of Rory's okay, so the two boyfriends that Rory has that meet Christopher just loves him off the bat. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great. And I don't know, like, my experience with my dads, because I have two essentially, were never like, oh, your boyfriend's great. He's so much fun. Bring him around more. It was more of a, so you're dating my daughter.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's even the thing.
I'm going to examine your whole life for a
right
while.
Right off the bat, Christopher says, she has a Dean? Like, it's not like a, she has a boyfriend, because that's kind of even the way that Luke reacts, right? Luke does that protective dad thing of like, oh, I don't know about this boy. And Christopher's like, oh, she's dating? That's wild. You know, like,
again, he's a pal. Yes, he's not a dad.
That's what I was going to say, is that the first thing Dean and Chris talk about are their bikes, their motorcycles. This 16-year-old has a motorcycle.
He said he didn't.
And he's also dating his daughter. And he's just like, oh, that's awesome.
So at this point, let's assume that Rory and Dean have been dating for like a month and a half, right? Because last time we got a check-in, it was a month. Mm-hmm. The Willy Wonka date, Dean says he doesn't have a motorcycle. So you're telling me in the month that he's been dating Rory, he went out and specifically bought a motorcycle?
I hope so.
But let's be fair. At the 3-month anniversary, he was building her a
That's
car.
True. This man moves fast.
He moves fast. His dad's, I don't think his dad's a certified mechanic, but works on cars. Mm-hmm. And his whole family works on cars and apparently has a junkyard of some kind, or is friends with somebody who has a junkyard. So I guess it makes sense to me that he could decide, I want a motorcycle, and then start scrapping together parts.
Yeah. Well, and I guess before we get into the rest of Christopher's day.
Hold on. I just clocked that a 2000 Indian is the year. It's 2000. Like the same year.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So for Chris, it's a brand new. Yes.
For us, I just thought it's like, that was dang, the name of the motorcycle.
No, that's the year.
Dean was like 86.
Yeah,
or
83.
Something.
I
Dean's
think.
Older.
Yeah,
83.
So we do actually move on to the inn.
The inn, yes.
Where Michelle and Suki are laughing at some joke we don't hear,
and then Lorelai ruins it.
And Lorelai comes in and is just like, "You two laughing, being nice to each other. What is this alternate reality
here?"
It's one of those things where you just don't say anything, right? It's like if you had a partner who never makes the bed, right? And then one day you walk in and you notice that they've made the bed really nicely. You don't say anything. You don't go, oh, look at you making the bed. No. Mm-mm, you just let it fly. And then maybe later you go, oh, I noticed you did that. So thank you. Thank you. I love that.
See, that's what I would do. I'd be like, oh, hey, thanks for making the bed.
Right?
But I feel like this situation between those two is a little different because it's still happening.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah,
it's still
in the
she would have joined in.
I guess.
And then afterwards been like, Suki, you guys were getting along.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like if I had walked in on, like, Sean making the bed, I probably would have gone in to help.
Yeah.
Obviously. But, or in this kind of like, see it happening, take a step back. Come back later. Let it ride the wave.
What do we think that they were joking about? What were they giggling about in there?
Well, they were so mean to each other in the last episode. Like, really?
Yeah, with the omelet thing.
Yeah. And I don't know. Because they really don't give you an indication of what they're laughing about. They're just laughing.
They're just giggling, yep.
Maybe Suki finally made him the egg white omelet.
Maybe.
And so they were just enjoying how good it was.
It is nice to see them getting along, and it's a nice reminder that later, you know, when we're a little bit further in, when, you know, the dragonfly is a thing, there is a little bit more camaraderie and, like, kinship among the three of them.
Yeah.
So Suki and Lorelai start talking about Christopher, because there's no other topic in this episode besides Christopher.
Nope.
And I don't know. Lorelai mentions the catcalling.
Yep.
And Suki calls it smooth. And I was just like, that's not smooth at all. I disagree with you, Suki.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe it's, like, I agree, catcalling is inappropriate. Maybe it's different because they have a past, right? And maybe it could be seen as something flirtatious. And, like, the idea that, you know, he's flirting with her right off the bat could be what Suki's referring to as smooth. But, I mean, it was in bad taste when he shouted at her to take her shirt off in front of the grocery store.
In front of his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catcalling somebody you know, you're in a relationship, totally appropriate. If I walk by in, like, a new outfit and Sean catcalls me, I'm gonna feel great. I'm gonna love it.
But, like, catcalling, you have a trusting
your
relationship.
Ex-girlfriend on the street when she hasn't seen you in years and because you have a helmet on has no idea who you are. Not the time.
It's weird. Yeah.
Pull the helmet off first, maybe.
Can you imagine Jackson catcalling Suki?
Oh my gosh.
I bet it happens.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure, I mean,
but
I know it happens.
I'm sure Jackson says, like, Suki's so beautiful or something like that. But, like, Jackson was in a weird form in this episode. He was written the right way. We'll talk about Jackson coming up, but before that,
Jackson's run might be my
favorite. I love
yes,
it so
I agree.
Much, but
all I have is that Christopher gets a pass. So any wrongdoing that Christopher does is usually just like, well, it's Christopher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During the town tour, though, essentially, I do want to point out, Miss Patty introduces herself, immediately hits on Christopher, and then as soon as they walk away, pulls out the phone.
Yep.
And then they, like, cross the street, and she introduces Chris to Taylor.
In the same cardigan.
Yeah, in the same cardigan, and immediately pulls out the phone. So, like, I can only imagine the phone tree that's happening in this episode.
And Miss Patty, she kind of seemed drunk. Like, she was, it was a lot.
Oh, she was, like, really hitting on him. Like,
yeah.
We see Patty hit on kind of any man throughout the series.
Well, yeah, she hit on Richard and got death looks from Emily at Rory's Sweet 16.
Yes, did she ever hit on Logan? Did she get a chance to?
Does Logan go to Stars Hollow ever?
I don't know, but I think she would.
Yes, in the very last season, for the Hay Bale Maze.
Okay.
Wow.
But I don't know. I don't remember if he meets Miss
Patty.
Because
I think Patty would have been all over Logan.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And he would have totally eaten it up. Kind of the way that Christopher does. Christopher plays it off really cool. Like, he's used to getting this kind of attention.
We have to see if she meets Tristan. Because I don't think so. But they do, they are Miss Patties in that episode when he comes in to Stars Hollow. So we have to keep it. We have to keep an eye on that. But Taylor to Jackson to Andrew. What is this gossip trade? Like,
I mean, it's very television small town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's very, like, a phone tree is a thing that exists in small towns. In television.
I'm not even gonna go, it's television small town.
Do you guys have phone trees out there?
So, my small town growing up, yes, we had phone trees. Because at this time frame too, like, internet email, text messaging was not a thing. But, like, my small town, population 6,000, like, if I don't know you directly, I know somebody in your family. Mm-hmm. I know a brother, a sister, cousin, aunt, uncle. I know somebody. Like, whenever I meet somebody from my hometown, be like, oh, if we don't recognize, be like, oh, you probably know my aunt so-and-so who works at the bank. Oh, yeah, she's done my banking for years.
Yeah.
Or, oh, yeah, you know. It's everybody, yes. This isn't television small town. This is a true-to-form small town.
But
in my
if
experience.
You met somebody, would you immediately call their aunt at the bank and say, oh, yeah, you know, that George Clooney type guy. No, more of a Brad Pitt.
No, more like Billy
I wouldn't
Crudup.
Say that, but I'd probably call him and be like, hey, I didn't know your niece was in town.
Yeah.
There would probably still be a phone call.
What do you guys think about those celebrity lookalikes that they are presenting between George
None
Clooney,
of them make sense.
Brad Pitt, and Billy Crudup?
Crudup? None of them make sense Crudup? To me.
I think of all of them, I think that George Clooney is the closest.
George Clooney, ER,
the one
vibes.
I agree with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit of a scruff going on. I feel like they had similar-ish facial structure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that also those are probably the top two male actors at the time, right? If you're going to talk about somebody being handsome, are they a Brad Pitt or a George Clooney? But
Brad Pitt is a hard no.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And also, I think that Billy has too delicate a face to be compared to Christopher, to be totally honest. But I do love when they walk into the bookstore and Jackson is just like, Christopher!
What is going on with Jackson in this episode? I honestly feel like they forgot his character and they were just like, you know who we have right here? We have this actor. He could be the gossip person.
Anybody.
Who cares that it's Jackson? It makes sense.
I think it was like, we need somebody to do this. Somebody call up Jackson. We haven't seen him in a couple episodes.
Yeah, I think they're also probably trying to establish him more into like the framework of Stars Hollow. Because we have really only seen him coming into the inn or like on a date, but this is like proof that he is a Stars Hollow guy.
Yeah. Anybody else get a little salty when they walk into the book and Chris is like, so I hear you like books? Shouldn't you know that?
She's 16 years old.
Not your child.
It's just a bad joke, man. He makes a lot of them.
Like, I feel like it's obviously supposed to be a funny kind of thing, but like it just comes off so much of you really don't know your kid.
No. Yeah. But going back a step from that, we see the bookstore for the first time.
Yes, Andrew's bookstore.
Yeah, it's smaller than I thought. Like I remember.
It gets bigger. It definitely gets bigger because I know that it gets bigger because isn't Rory in the bookstore when she sexts Logan?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, when she and Lane had that conversation.
Yeah, well, and she's, like, hidden in book stacks that don't exist right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's why in my head I'm like, oh, this is so small.
I watched the episode the other day, because in my leisurely watching, I start at, like, season 5. But she was doing inventory for spring break or something. So they show her, this was during the Luke and Lorelai breakup, so they show her in there then. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's clearly, and it's laid out differently too. Like the door's on the other side but yeah, it's definitely bigger.
So, but like right now it's a small place. And for such a small place, you would not expect them to immediately have the compact Oxford English Dictionary. Like that's something that you would order. You want to know how much it costs?
Mm-mm. Oh, yes, I know. I have it because this is the only book mentioned.
Yeah, do you want to talk about it then?
It's fine.
We can save it. Leave the surprise.
Let's save it. It's a little tease for the audience. It's expensive.
I mean, it comes in its own collector's box, you know?
Yeah.
Jackson running away after being caught being such a busybody gossip and, like, kind of rude, too.
He was. For no reason.
It's great. Like, his run is so awkward. I love that not only do we see him run down the street, but we see him run around the corner at Luke's. Like, that's two separate shots that they set up to see Jackson run.
Yes. With his arms not moving, just, like, straight down at his side.
And he's, like, tilted forward.
Like, bouncing along. Yeah.
I really like it, and I really liked it as a shot as well. Like you were saying, Jess, like it connected to the next scene.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great transition. They don't usually do that, so it was really cool.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, and speaking briefly about transitions, there's something we missed in the last episode that I want to bring up super briefly.
Oh, you're right.
And I realized it today, and I messaged the girls, and we were all like, how did we miss this? The town troubadour has been spotted.
I love the town troubadour.
He's so great.
I loved his music.
And the reason I bring him up is because the troubadour is used as this excellent transition between scenes, you know, into and out of Stars Hollow. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, we cannot talk about a great transition without also mentioning that the troubadour is here. He's here to stay. Yes.
The first troubadour.
Yeah. The first troubadour.
Yes.
The only real troubadour.
The OG troubadour.
The other one doesn't count because he's not registered properly or something.
Only Stars Hollow.
He lets people
man.
Know about his life.
So Luke and Lorelai have this really weird, awkward conversation. They're coming off of a heavy episode for them, right? Mm-hmm. They had a lot of moments, and then they had... Mm-hmm. The opposite of a moment where it was kind of, they went their separate ways a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now we come back and Luke congratulates her on, or like.
Well, it starts off with him fishing for information. Yes. Like, who's the dude? Mm-hmm.
Who's this old guy with Rory?
Like trying to figure out, hey, who's the dude hanging with my girl?
Yeah.
And, oh, it's Rory's dad. He did a great job.
of impregnating.
And then I love how he's like, yeah, this got weird, and just walks away.
He looked really good in that scene.
It's really interesting to think about where this moment falls, like, on the timeline, because at the time they have this conversation, they still have their date planned for Friday.
Yes, they do.
You know? So, like, that's the headspace that they should be in, but they're not, because Christopher came and ruined it.
Yep.
Yep.
And it hasn't been mentioned in the episode, because, you know, it used to be that episodes were weekly. So, like, you watch them with space in between, and I'm sure a lot of people forgot that, oh, they had plans.
Yeah.
But not if you binge it.
I think it was intentional way, though. Because it kind of shows, realistically, too, how easy it can be to forget plans, I guess, in that kind of time frame.
Well, also, I mean, this is a big thing that came up.
It is.
Like, we'll get to it at the end when we talk about this scene, but, like, you know, when she says something came up, like, this is kind of a massive thing that happened.
I agree.
It is. Like, I don't think anybody's at fault entirely for how it ends. It really was a fluke. But yeah, we'll get there. I do want to give a shout out to the notepad in Luke's pants.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's there.
We love that notepad.
All I was thinking of that scene was, Emily's going to love this.
I have a note.
We got the gray sweatpants. We got the notepad in the front of the pants. Like, Luke is just on fire this episode. And we get so little of him.
We do. But the parts we get of him are
good.
Very good. No cell phones. Christopher ignores that.
Just completely ignores it.
Just completely. He doesn't even care about it.
Luke doesn't say anything. Like, well, does Luke not see it?
He's in the back, right? Like,
he
just went to the back.
Okay.
But what I thought would happen in that scene was he would come out while Lorelai was on the phone.
Right, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
I kept expecting that to happen, and then it never happened.
No, but on the phone, it's Emily, and Emily is inviting everybody, and it's not really an invitation. It's a, we're having dinner. Everyone is going to be there.
I just love that she called Christopher and then talked to Lorelai to tell her Christopher's in town.
Like, Lorelai's reaction, though, would have 100% been my reaction. What? No way! Chris is in town?
The man next to me?
Since when?
Oh, Emily.
Emily Gilmore, not Emily the co-host.
Yes, not me.
Yeah. Emily the character.
Kidding. Yes. But we go to Emily's, and for the first time ever, Lorelai uses a key to enter.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be for emergencies, and I agree with Emily. This is not a, like, just because I gave you a key for emergencies does not mean you can just enter my house whenever you want to.
I agree with Lorelai in this situation, because this is the house that she grew up in.
Right, that's where I'm thinking,
too. This
is her
parents' house.
Like,
like, any other situation, friend, cousin, aunt, uncle, whatever, like, I totally get you don't use the key whenever, but, like, this is her house.
But didn't she give that up?
Her childhood bedroom is in this house.
Well, it's just,
to,
like,
Emily's point of view.
Was.
Doesn't Emily think that Lorelai gave that up? So
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a complicated.
I get both sides of that fight.
Yeah. It wasn't really a fight, was
but
it?
But again, I mean, so Lorelai obviously hasn't been using it, so I feel like Emily's comment is more of a, wait, why did you do this? You've never done that since we've started this.
Yeah.
The Friday night dinners. Why are you doing it now?
Maybe Lorelai is getting comfortable.
I mean, it felt very familiar, and I think that's kind of why Emily called her out on it. It was, like, a little too familiar, you know?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because
we're formal here.
I feel like Emily wants familiar.
Well, Emily wants familiar with Rory, but she's still not 100% with
There's a lot
Lorelai.
Of anger going on.
Mm-hmm.
And We get to this dinner. Emily and Richard are immediately on Christopher. They're
in a good way.
Him. Yeah.
They're so excited to see him. They're singing his praises.
Exactly. And barely paying attention to Lorelai at all. It's even cold towards Lorelai. What is up with that?
I think this is so weird. Like,
it is.
It's I think it's a weird balance between the Gilmores being so excited to see Christopher, you know, where I think the normal, well, not normal, but, like, the way that we usually see this story play out is, like, the parents are furious because you ruined my daughter, right? That's, like, the teenage pregnancy story that we hear. But in this case, it's the girl's parents are so excited to be a family, and the boy's parents are the one who are like, you ruined my son.
Which, yikes, man.
It's very backwards to me, and even, like, how the night starts to how it ends. Like, because Richard goes on a rant in, like, 10-15 minutes or so from when they first get there. Not that long, but about, you think I liked him? You think I wanted this to happen? And it just, it's very, it's like, how do you feel? Like, he's here now and you're really sweet and nice and so excited and bragging about his business sense and that he's doing so great. But in 5 minutes, you're going to freak out and say, no, I hated him. I wanted to beat him up. I wanted to do all these things. But at the same time, tell Lorelai that, well, how do you expect us to feel? How do you, it just, none of the thought processes made sense here. Or that they went together. They were all over the place.
You know what? I would actually argue that Richard told you why. He thinks things should be done in a right way. Right? Mm-hmm. Which means if you get pregnant, you get married. And
I have regardless. A whole paragraph about that conversation.
But before that, let's meet Straub and Francine.
Let's meet the grandparents who haven't seen their granddaughter since she was a toddler.
Yes.
Do we ever see them again? Yes.
In Dear Emily
we
and
do?
Richard.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite episodes. And I can't wait for that one. But, real quick, Francine is played by Christine Rose, who played the mother in Heroes. So the entire time I was distracted by that. I was just like, oh, it's Angela Petrelli. But it was
there are a lot of actors and actresses that cross over between this show and How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, you were telling us.
So, like, she plays the mom. She plays Ted's mom in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, and she plays Milo Ventimiglia's mom on Heroes.
In Heroes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
This is funny.
And in this, she plays a very quiet, submissive wife to a very crappy man.
Yes. She does.
I just wanted to yell at her, get over the tie.
I wanted to yell at Emily.
Like every word out of her mouth.
Like, Emily was all about, like, let's just go to the dinner. Let's go, let's leave.
Emily was trying so hard in this episode.
Defend your daughter, though, man.
Yeah.
And it's not even just Lorelai. Rory's getting the brunt of it, too.
Rory's getting the brunt of it. And so much of it is, like, Chris could have spoken up at any point,
too. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, everybody's bragging about how great Chris is doing, but turns out, no, he's not. He's not doing great. And Straub going on about, he's supposed to go to Princeton. And Chris tells us later, I was never going to go to Princeton. I'm like, well, where were you saying this when this man was berating the woman you're supposedly in love with and your daughter?
It's obvious that he wasn't going to do anything because he didn't do anything in Rory's life. So how could he have ruined, or how could Lorelai have ruined Christopher's life if Christopher wasn't even involved?
Yeah.
That drove me crazy. She walked away from Chris. She let Chris do his own thing. Chris has not been a parent for the past 16 years.
No. Mm-hmm. And Rory, poor Rory, man. She's so nervous.
She was really set up for failure. Like,
oh God,
there was no way.
What was she
going to
talk about?
To be prepared.
Like when Richard's oh, she can talk your socks off or whatever the hell he says. Like, what, was she going to go into, what, politics like Lorelai does in a second? Like,
yeah.
Give her a topic.
Right, about books.
Rory,
or
what are your thoughts on Chomsky?
Yeah. Anyway.
Right? I don't even care. Just
let's
give
talk
her
Fez.
A topic. Don't, you're really smart. Prove that you're smart. She knows the Pythagorean theorem.
How do you do that?
I don't.
Right? A throw me a Rubik's Cube.
Right?
Like,
do you have a test?
Weird. It was awful, actually. It was awful and humiliating.
Yeah.
I do want to back up just a little bit, and I know this is really annoying with how Richard is acting about Chris, but, like, I love Richard when he's happy.
Yeah.
Oh,
when
my gosh.
He's, like, overly happy. It's so great. Anyway.
Well, I mean, I'll add this little addendum on now because it might not, the timing might not be good later, but Ed was hot in this episode. When he was, like, all fired up and, like, yelling at Lorelai and his hair came kind of undone, I was like, Richard.
I see him as a grandfather, so I disagreed.
Nah, however, he was hot in this episode.
This is really great acting.
Yes.
It was so good. And it made me so emotional. Like, I was teary-eyed watching them.
Yeah. And I mean, I will also say that the acting from Kelly in the scene with Emily and Rory is also really good. Again, I mean, we've brought it up before, but these are two powerhouse actors that they've got together, and they're great. And they really elevate the show.
I agree.
They were such a good get.
And they play so well off of each other, too. Like, you feel like they have been married for 30-some years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like an acting couple. It feels like true.
Well, they've known each other for a very long time. Like, so they've known.
I love that.
Yeah, they've known each other. I agree, you can tell. So, with Rory getting attacked, Lorelai goes into defense for her daughter. And proclaims very loudly, "I hate President Bush." Which is great. I love it for you, Lorelai, but probably not the best time to do it.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And I, like,
read the room.
When I think about, like, that was clearly Lorelai going into, like, protective mom.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right? She tried to do it nicely, right? She tried to, like, hey, no. Like, she, and then she knew it wasn't going to work, and her only defense left was to bring it to herself, right? To take all of this anger in the room and direct it back to herself.
And she got it.
Yeah.
And she did.
She got that anger. She got all
of it. What is the most outrageous thing she can say in that situation?
And how awkward and uncomfortable for poor Rory to, like, have all of that go down and to get sent out of the room.
Yeah.
You know, like,
honestly,
as an adult,
is such a bad energy.
As an adult, I'm really glad she got sent out of the room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But as a child, I've been there, and it sucks. It's like,
it sucks, but, like, Strobe is already being such a dick, and Rory already has to have all of this guilt getting laid on her, intentionally by some, unintentionally by others, that at that point you're just like, I need to get her out of the situation.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with, like, sending her out. I'm just upset that it had to happen at all, right? That
things
escalated so quickly.
I mean, she was telling...
I mean, she was curtsying, and, like, 2 minutes later, she's being told, get out, it's going to get bad, you know?
I mean, she was being told her whole existence ruined two people's lives, and ruined the names of an entire history of men who went to Princeton or whatever
of
the hell.
Hayden.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel so bad for her in that moment. And Lorelai.
I wanted to say, I totally fell with Rory when they walked in and she's like, what do I call them?
Yeah.
And she has no idea what to call them. And I remember at one point, I was probably like 4 or 5 years old and I hadn't seen a set of grandparents of mine in a long time. And I remember walking into the house thinking like, what do I call them? Do I call them grandma, grandpa? And I remember just going with that, and that's what it's always been. But it was such a weird, awkward feeling.
Yeah.
So weird that it stuck with me since I was, like, 4 years old.
It just, it's crazy to me that they really didn't want anything to do with her.
No.
You know?
And that blows my mind. Like, even if you're upset by the whole situation, this is still your blood. Like it or not.
Yeah.
How do you have that little empathy?
Well, it's because you're a terrible person. Yeah. And Strobe continues to show how terrible he is.
Attack after attack.
When he goes after Lorelai's, like, occupation.
He implies something.
Yeah. Like, we know that Lorelai is very good at what she does, and she's very successful.
She is.
And she's actively bettering herself. You know, like...
I love that, Rory got Chris's business sense. Chris,
what is that?
Business is failing?
Chris, whose card is declining.
Whose business is failing. Not Lorelai, the woman who worked her way up from a maid to being the executive manager of an inn. Like, we find out in the future, Mia straight up says, I never could have gotten this to the place that you have.
Yeah.
Lorelai, who's actively in business school right now.
Well, it's always a compliment towards Chris and an insult towards Lorelai, and it sucks that it's that way.
Yeah.
Can't you just be nice to both at the same time?
No. And so, you know, things escalate. Richard Gilmore stands up and freaking almost punches a guy in the face.
He's a big man.
He's huge.
He's like, when he stands up, you're like, oh my gosh.
He's so tall.
Ed is a gigantic man.
He's like 6'4 or 6'5. He is a tall man.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their fight. They get kicked out. right? They say, oh, yeah. I'm leaving. No, you're getting kicked out. You're 100% getting kicked out. Yeah,
justifiably so. Like, Strobe came in looking for a fight. Oh, yeah. He came in throwing punches.
Yeah. Poor Emily. Nobody ate the dinner, right? No. Well, like, it kind of implied that, like, they sat at the table together, but I don't see anybody actually sitting down to eat, you know, like, with everything that happened.
Well, Lorelai goes to the office to give her dad something to eat, and Rory and Emily are sitting at the kitchen.
Eating leftovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, cold potatoes.
So, I made a note about that. I'm gonna hope maybe that it was food that was made for dinner and it was still kind of put in the fridge.
Yeah.
So it's probably still warm. But I kind of like Emily busting around in the kitchen pulling out the leftovers like she knows what she's doing.
I was so proud of her.
But what is Christopher doing in that moment, right? Like, Lorelai's with Richard, Emily's with Rory. Why isn't Christopher with Rory?
He's somewhere pouting.
Somewhere, yeah.
You just said that you wanted to be a dad. In that moment, your daughter was attacked and you did nothing. The mother of your child was attacked and you did nothing.
On that, too, though, it kind of bothered me that Lorelai went to Richard first instead of going to Rory to check on her.
Well, I mean, presumably she had to get food out of the kitchen, right? Yeah.
Well, I think maybe
she did talk to Rory.
She's regressed to her 16-year-old self.
Yeah.
So she's not a mom right now. She's a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of put that towards the key thing, too, that she's at her parents' door with Chris. Like, she is just back to being 16-year-old Lorelai. At that point, walking in with Key would be completely normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. True.
So, Richard and Lorelai's conversation. This is a heartbreaking conversation.
It bothered me so much.
It is, especially...
It is.
Like, with all of the buildup that we've already had for their relationship, you know, starting out with him being so antagonistic in the first episode, like, to the point where we were like, Emily seems really nice.
Yeah.
To then, you know, coming to Stars Hollow, the whole scene in the hospital, which was heartbreaking and very powerful, to this, where she comes in trying to say thank you and he's gonna play the mean dad card.
I didn't do it for you. I did it for the family name.
Yeah.
That is such an awful... And Lorelai, even at that point, tries to like, okay, well, regardless of the reason, thank you. And he still blows up like, no, I want to be perfectly clear. I did not do this for you.
I mean, he's furious, right? I did this
because he was attacking. I totally understand being furious at Strobe, but...
No, he's furious at that point,
how about you guys... Yeah, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
So I have a note in here that what he said to her and the rant that he went on about, you know, what do you expect us to do? You abandoned us. Your mother didn't get out of bed for a month. All these things. I feel like it needed to be said.
Yes.
It was tension. It was emotion that had been bottled up for 16 years at this point, or I guess maybe 15, depending on when they for sure left. I feel like it needed to be said, but I still feel like I only defended you for the name. The Gilmore name really bothered me.
Yeah, it's a harsh...
Yeah.
It's very harsh. It's very harsh and it's very unforgiving.
It doesn't feel true. Because in the moment when he was defending her, he didn't just say, like, you can't talk about my daughter like that. Right? Like, that would have been enough to protect the family name. Right? Like, you can't talk about my child like that. That's protecting the family name. To go into, my daughter is incredibly successful, you know, she is very good at what she does. Like, he has specifics. He's not willing to admit that he has those specifics later when they're talking one-on-one, but...
I mean, like he said...
I do agree that...
He wants things to be right. And I'm sure in his mind, the explosion that he did was not right. So, I'm sure he has some kind of regret or some kind of... You know, when you cool down from a fight, you realize, oh, wow, I really blew up, right? But I think Lorelai and Emily got some kind of closure at one point, right? They talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
But him and Lorelai never did.
Yeah.
And we kind of don't factor in Richard and Lorelai's leaving, but he should be factored in. He was her dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hated it.
I agree.
It was rough. It was great acting. Very rough.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Great acting.
Very heartbreaking.
It really pushes Lorelai's, you know, being 16 thing. Mm-hmm. It pushes her a little too far, in my opinion.
Before we get there, he says that Lorelai wasn't supposed to have a choice, right? She was just supposed to get married.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And Lorelai responds with that she's unbelievably sad for Richard.
Yeah, yeah, that line hit me hard.
Me too. And I wonder if she knows something the audience doesn't know of, like, I know there's something about another woman later on, that there was, that Emily is technically the other woman, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because during the Yale game.
Yeah, you find out that he was actually engaged to someone else and that Emily was the other woman. So how can he have this experience and then say that to Lorelai, that you should have married
this
person?
I think it's honestly a pretty common sexist old world belief, right? That, like, mm-hmm. men have options and women don't.
Yep. Well, and on top of it, too, so Richard says, you have to do the right thing. You get married, or you get pregnant, you get married. You have to make sacrifices to do the right thing. Like, okay, yes, in some situations, that is the best foot forward. But in this situation, you are asking Lorelai to sacrifice literally her entire life, her happiness, her joy, to be with a man, to be with a boy who doesn't even mm-hmm. know who he is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, even what we have seen of Christopher, I don't feel like he would have been successful in any of the
Well, he would have been put in the insurance business, right? That's what they say.
I don't think he would have been successful there.
I don't think
there.
So either.
I think, yeah. I think Richard could have put him somewhere, Strobe could have put him somewhere, but I think he would have been living off of the family name and the family money, and that would drive Lorelai insane.
It would.
Yeah.
Like, we would clearly be having seeing a very different life and a very different show if they had gotten married.
Rory, Hayden.
And I don't think it would have been a good one, like, for Lorelai.
Literally nothing in their life would be the same, you know?
So, this next scene with Rory and Emily is actually one of my favorite scenes of the show.
Yes.
Same.
I don't like that Emily even defends Straub for, like, a second, right? Before letting it go.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. He was horrible.
Yeah.
But she does, you know, acquiesce and goes, oh, he's a big ass.
So my comment is, I love the Rory-Emily combo, dash, just shut up about Strobe.
Yeah. And I don't know if that comes from a place of, like, trying to, like, those people are her grandparents, like, trying to show Rory that there's, like, she comes from good people. I don't know if there's anything there, but, like,
it's not all bad.
Yeah. It's like, but, you know, a bad man who does one good thing is not is not a good man.
A bad man that does 100 good things is still not necessarily a good man.
But I do love this scene between the elder and the youngest Gilmore. It's just so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so well worded, you know, that like neither your existence nor your person are mm-hmm. a disappointment. Like, it just, it's so well said. It kind of encompasses everything. It's like, literally nothing about you disappoints us.
And Rory needed to hear that, especially after that disaster of a conversation, right? Argument, fight, whatever it is. Reunion.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, she was there for part of it, and then she listened to her grandfather nearly fight a man through the kitchen door.
Yeah.
Like, what an awful night. And then she gets to eat some, we're hoping, lukewarm asparagus and potatoes. that was so funny to me that I was like, is there going to be a moment where, like, Emily's like, now where's that microwave? You know, but nope, it was just, eat your veggies.
You think they own a microwave?
Oh, I would assume that there's a microwave that, you know, a maid uses.
So, next up, we cut to the balcony. The infamous balcony. Yeah. A lot of sighs.
But, like, they spent their teenage years looking for aliens and naked people, and I was like, yeah, that's, like, prime teenage years right there.
That sounds, like, fun. Yeah.
And then being the naked people.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, and it's, like, they came in heavy coats.
How cool.
And then they were just out there. Doing it on the deck.
You know, I'd rather talk about that one red brick that annoyed me every time I saw it. Do you guys see it? It was like a white wall. It. And there was just one red brick. I was just like, I why? Didn't.
Yeah, now I have to like look. Oh, I see it.
Oh, yep. Huh. What is the point of that? Or I have like a headcanon in my head that Lorelai painted it, like to be rebellious. She has painted that brick red.
There's a second one. There's like one on each wall.
Oh, is there? Maybe it's a pattern.
And it looks like it maybe has letters on it. So maybe it's like a branded brick. I don't know. I'm not a bricklayer.
Maybe that's a secret entrance. You push it in and a secret wall pops out.
I feel... I've had so many jokes on the tip of my tongue that I could have made here. Go about ahead. Bricklaying and secret entrances. But, I mean, the long and short of it... The long and short of it is that they do it on the deck, and immediately Lorelai regrets it. Immediately. She knows this was stupid.
And immediately Chris is like, yay! Yeah.
Chris is like, this is great! Nah, it's not, Chris.
We find out that the balcony was where Rory was conceived.
Yeah, I mean...
Why? Why? Like, not even like that it happened, but like, why do you have to mention it? Why do you have to bring it up?
Why not a bed?
Because...
That's why I think.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming because they didn't want her parents to hear, but, like, but yeah. Out is it better for the people outside to hear? I don't know.
So, Rory's birthday is supposed to be in October, right?
So, what's 9 months?
So, she would have been 9 months.
It would have been
so January.
That's a...
In the
January.
In Connecticut?
In Connecticut.
In the freezing cold.
On the balcony.
So, maybe they both, like, the band Coldplay. I softened that one. God, everything I say I could, but it's not that kind of podcast. Yeah, either way, Lorelai immediately regrets it. Chris is like, this is great. And I think Chris's headspace, the moment he comes to Stars Hollow, is that he wants to ask Lorelai to marry him. That's what I think. I think he came thinking, look at me, I can say I'm successful. It didn't work out with the girl I was with.
Diane.
Right? Yeah. I'm lonely. I miss Lorelai because I'm still in love with Lorelai. I think he came with a plan, and he thinks his plan is working right now.
Do this.
Yeah, I fully agree. Chris came with this.
Yeah.
Well, in multiple ways.
Yikes.
It's not just me.
Chris visited Stars Hollow with this one thing in mind.
Not sex, but marrying.
Not to propose to Lorelai.
And the sex was a great bonus, and...
I think he knew the sex was going
to
happen.
They had both regressed. I
don't think you can know. I think he hoped that something would happen, and then he basically used that to manipulate her. Like, clearly, there's still emotions and feelings there, but it's like, no, it's... Stop it.
And that's why she knew it was a mistake. Yeah. She knew how it was going to make him act, you know?
Like you said, immediately.
Yeah. He's pulling a leaf out of her hair while they're getting dressed, and she's just, like, stupid.
Like, leave me alone.
Immediate regret. Ugh.
And Rory puts two to two together, like, she realizes right away.
It's funny how, like, she clearly knows, and she's clearly pushing it.
Yeah, she's not upset about it.
No. No, because as we see, you know, Rory's kind of on board with the idea of her parents getting together.
Yeah. I mean, at this age, who isn't?
Yeah, who exactly.
With the still very idealized version of Chris in her head of being a happy family. Like, illusions haven't been broken yet.
Yeah. So we have this scene of Chris and Lorelai having sex on the balcony. And then immediately after we've seen this happen.
Oh, Luke.
We see Luke waiting for her outside. And he's got everything ready to go.
So much pain.
And he's just waiting. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
It broke my heart.
Luke. It won't be the... Well, it's the first time that Luke gets pushed away for Christopher, but it won't be the last.
Yeah. God. Just, like, having him standing out on the street corner, like, looking down the street. He's not even in the diner.
Yeah.
He's waiting for her outside. It's like looking at a puppy that somebody has just kicked and thrown out of, It's like, this is the most horrible thing. We've seen some pretty horrible stuff happen tonight, and this is what got me. And he just gives up.
I don't even know if there's, like, one moment.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as the punches...
just the whole episode.
The punches started coming, they didn't stop. They did not stop.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Luke was in the path of one of those fists. Yikes.
Oh. Oh my gosh, I just realized, it's not even after they
had during.
Sex. It's
the scene is during.
During.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, remember where she's supposed to be right now? Remember who she's supposed to be with? That is some manipulative film work on the part of the director here. Like, to literally be like, ooh, here's this romance happening with Luke and Lorelai, and then, oh, here comes Chris. And then remember Luke.
Fucking it all up.
And look, now she's kissing Chris. Like,
messing it all up.
Excuse my language.
It's so rude.
You can totally bleep it over, but it stands.
I agree. I want to know what Chris's misspelled tattoo is.
Oh, I did too. I have that. No. I want that story.
Like, is it someone's name that he misspelled? I don't know.
It could be I hope he misspelled Lorelai's name.
Spells it with
I wonder if it's Lorelai's like a... name misspelled. I wonder if it's like a no regrets.
Oh my god, no regrets.
Situation.
No regrets.
Well, Lorelai and Rory talk, finally. I don't know if anything was gained from that conversation. I think Rory gets told that, you know, Lorelai loves her.
I want to back up.
Yeah.
Like, 20 seconds. I am absolutely surprised that Lorelai let Chris drive her Jeep.
I'm not.
Because he came on a motorcycle, so they have to be driving Lorelai's Jeep.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't see her giving up.
I can, to Christopher.
That control. That's her baby. Anyway.
I don't know.
I think Christopher gets a pass with everything.
Yeah, I mean, she literally let Rory get on the back of his bike last
episode. I don't think
she
would let that with anyone else. Not even Luke.
God, no. Anyway, conversation with Lorelai and Rory.
Yeah. What did you guys think about it?
It was very needed.
Yeah.
It was. I just don't think that, like, I think it was too late. I think she needed to have that conversation at the Gilmore house.
I'm glad Emily was there and essentially gave the conversation that Lorelai should have given her. But that's kind of where I was at when I was like, well, where is Lorelai when she goes to check on Richard and kind of puts that olive branch there? I'm like, I really feel like Rory should have taken priority to that conversation. And maybe she did, and there was something off screen that they just didn't show.
But I feel...
I feel like that conversation should have happened
earlier. I feel for Lorelai. Like, that look of hatred that she gives herself. In the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we've been there. That regret of, oh, crap, I can't believe I did that. Like, it's harsh.
Yeah.
But the look of hatred she has for herself that night is nothing compared to the absolute agony of waking up and realizing she forgot about Luke.
Like, it's bad enough when you, like, get in bed and you're, like, halfway asleep and you bolt awake remembering something, but to completely sleep through the night and then remember that next morning?
Yeah.
Her one saving grace is that she just runs in her pajamas.
Yes.
Like, it's clear that she realizes, she throws on a coat, and she goes.
So,
And then she starts to lie about what happened. I was like, no.
No.
I mean, obviously, I know she's gonna, I think that's another saving grace for her, too, there, is that she's like, no, I sucked here, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well.
Lorelai is pretty good at owning up to things when she wants to.
Yeah.
We've seen that a few times now.
But, like, I feel like she still could have framed it in a way that wouldn't have been, hey, I was sleeping with someone else instead of being with you. Like, she could have just been like, you know, Rory's dad, it got crazy, there was drama, things happened.
And she, not that I want it to be manipulative by any means, but it could have also been on a, like, Rory saw her grandparents, Chris's parents, for the first time.
I needed to be there
in
for
well
Rory.
Over a decade, and it blew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even just, I'm so sorry, Rory's dad showed up with no notice.
That is
and
an
emergency.
And my
mom planned this big family reunion. You know, like, and it completely slipped my mind because it's not something that I ever expected to happen.
So I don't want her to lie, but she was a little too truthful.
Yeah, well, she was, like, truthful through omission.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she didn't say, I was with Christopher, but she allows him to imply it, and then not deny it.
She's too vague about it. Left open to interpretation, which allows Luke to... And as far as he knows, as far as Luke knows, like, Laura kind of, like, confirms that it was Chris.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, doesn't... But it didn't mean anything, or... I mean, they're not in a relationship, so it's not like she needs to justify that right now anyway.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, we're seeing the beginning of what could have potentially been the beginning of Luke and Lorelai, and instead, she kind of lets it fall.
And she calls it a date. She says, yeah. We had a date. And he's like, it wasn't a date, you know? But, like, there's a lot of mixed messages, too, because she goes back to Christopher and says, you know, I let a friend down. Yes. So, like... Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of mixed feelings for Luke and Lorelai, but he's so upset and he's so Luke about it. He's not going to talk about it. He's just going to say, I'm late.
He's very hurt.
Yeah.
Randomly, at this point, Luke does not live above
that. That's what I was going to say. Like, what? That was the one thing that threw me out was, why is he arriving at the diner? Doesn't he live upstairs?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe he already came downstairs. And
well, he does it twice, because when we see him next...
Go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where does he live? Where does Luke live right now?
Luke lives in, like, a nebulous character space that, like, Jackson also lives there, and Andrew lives there, and Kirk lives there. A boarding house for unhoused boys.
Yeah. Poor Luke. My heart broke for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just really sad. This was not a great... episode for Luke, and that it was very sad for him.
And so Lorelai comes back in her PJs still and says no to coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Christopher is like, oh, you say no to coffee, that's a big thing. But then doesn't like...
Yeah, no, nothing happens.
Doesn't stop him from just, you know, proposing.
By the way, all of this is happening in front of Rory's room.
Right? Is it soundproof?
No, Rory can hear everything.
At this point, she is the heaviest sleeper in the world.
No, 100%.
And you have to
only explanation.
100%, she's awake. Like, I think she's awake and just sitting in her bed.
Doing extra credit or homework or whatever.
And just hearing this.
I don't know, because when he leaves, the way she asks, like, he asked you to marry him, it's kind of like a, like, I know he did, but I need you to confirm it.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think she would have needed that confirmation if she had actually heard it.
Maybe she's wondering if her mom is going to tell her the truth or not.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Well, you guys will never hear me defend Christopher. I do not think he's a good person, especially not at this point. He's very hot in this scene.
First thing in the morning, a little bit of scruff going on.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask you
guys. I mean, I get it.
he's a good looking guy.
He's Christopher hot.
And... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I will say, he is
until
more
he
hot.
Opens his mouth.
He is more hot in the end of Under the Tuscan Sun than he ever is in Gilmore Girls.
I've never seen that.
Me neither.
Oh my gosh, you guys have to watch it. It's a classic, and surprise, he shows up at the end, and he's very handsome.
I feel like I might have seen it once with my grandma in theaters.
I would die to see it in theaters. Oh my gosh. It's like the ultimate feel-good. Anyway.
Well, he is attractive.
He's hot. His arguments are bad.
Very bad. He asked her to marry him, and at first I thought he was joking, and then he wasn't.
His face was very sincere when he said it, though. He really thought that she might say yes.
I hated all of that fight.
Oh my god.
And then the whole, like...
My comment on this whole fight is just, expletives, go away. Just, Chris, go away. Nothing about your argument is good. It's all awful.
You're soulmates, guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, I think that it wasn't even the two of them going to the Gilmore house that made them regress. The two of them being together, you know how when you have friends who you, like, went to high school with, and you only see each other in the context of getting together and talking about high school?
Speaking of,
and you kind of get back into
speaking
that.
Speaking of How I Met Your Mother, that was an episode.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you get back into that, like, you know, high school mindset where you feel like you're teenagers again. That's how they are.
Yeah.
They literally cannot get past where they were 16 years ago.
Yeah.
They're arguing about music in the context of how mature each other are.
After he proposes to her. Like,
on a lie.
They're acting like teenagers. Yeah.
He proposes to her and he's like, I'm an open book. Ask me anything. How's your business really doing?
And he won't answer. Like,
okay, so at this point, Chris, you straight up proposed to her on a lie. I'm mature now. I have a great business going. Mm-hmm. I can take care of you guys. But by the way, my business is failing.
Yep.
The whole she's my daughter too. Where was that sentiment? 16 years ago.
You're a sperm
also
donor.
The whole, like, she might be my only kid.
That was weird.
Oh, come on, Chris.
Yeah, it was.
Also, regardless of whether or not you guys get married, does not change the fact that she is your daughter.
No. And I loved the, I was the mature one ready to get married when we were 16. I'm sorry, I think Lorelai was the mature one to recognize that that was not the right thing to do and took care of her own life while you just wanted to go ahead and do what Daddy told you.
Yeah.
He just wanted an excuse not to go to Princeton, and he got it. That was it.
Yeah. Also, the fact that she says, you know, we don't know each other as adults.
It's totally true.
No.
And then he's like, well, let's get married and we'll figure it out.
As if marriage is going to solve all the problems.
This is not a reality show.
And like,
this is not 90 Day Fiancé or whatever that.
Right.
Married at first sight.
I have a very, like, biased perspective on, like, getting married quickly. My parents met and were married in the span of 4 months.
Wow. And they're still
And they are still together 30 years later.
Mine too.
It's crazy.
Like,
They divorced.
Well.
It's because she got pregnant. Literally. It was because she got pregnant. And then they were divorced because it did not work out.
Oof. But, I mean, like, I know, right? Like,
yeah.
The amount of time that you know each other and how well you know each other, it's not always an indicator of marriage, but in this case, with Lorelai and Chris, she knows they would not be able to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I wish she remembered this. I wish that Lorelai kept this thought right in the front of her brain for, like, the next 6 seasons. You know, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if every time Lorelai was happy, she was allowed to be happy without Christopher coming in and ruining it?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of her arguments, though, as to why Chris is not ready when we get to that fateful time are no longer valid.
Yeah,
because
true.
He has been, at that point, he has been more involved than I think he was for the previous 16 years. He clearly does have his life and finances and taking care of things together at that
yes.
point.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Lorelai lets it get to where it is.
So
anyway.
I wanted to ask you guys a question. Say Christopher was not an asshole, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess this isn't a question. This is more of an admission. Sometimes I think Lorelai and Christopher have more chemistry than even Max and Lorelai. And sometimes Luke and Lorelai.
I'd say definitely Max and Lorelai. I would agree with that.
Yeah, definitely more than Max. I think that Christopher and Lorelai have a different kind of chemistry than Luke and Lorelai. Like, Luke and Lorelai have a very slow burn, and Christopher and Lorelai, like, even when they don't like each other, they cannot help but be attracted to each other.
Yeah. They have a different chemistry.
Yeah.
Chris and Lorelai is the ignited passion relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The one where it's great, and when it's awful, and it's awful, and there's, like, no in between.
Yeah.
Whereas Luke and Lorelai is, like, for a while, the good, healthy, respect each other, discuss things, boundary, you know.
Yeah, I can't see Christopher and
Lorelai kind of chemistry.
Discussing anything.
No.
No, I don't think they ever had long-term potential. No. Like, when they were 16, right now, you know, this first reattempt, when they eventually do get married, like, they don't have long-term potential because they are, like, very flash in the pan. Like, it's a big burst of passion, and then reality strikes, and they just aren't right for each other. Like, they're not soulmates.
They're not.
Yeah.
They just look pretty together. That's it.
They do.
They
look great.
Great together.
They made
and
a great looking
And they're from the same
kid.
World.
Yeah.
So the last, well, second to last scene we get is Christopher leaving, and I hate the back and forth that they make Rory do. I don't know if they thought it was childish or what, but I just thought it was really awful to her.
I think it was fully manipulative on Chris's part, because he starts it of he's just trying one last-ditch effort of, well, maybe if it comes from our kid, she's willing to give it, she'll be willing to give it a shot.
It reminded me of, like, and, like, as I have not been proposed to. If I was proposed to in any way, I would love it. But it reminds me of guys who, like, put a note on the puppy's collar and, like, send the puppy into the room to propose. It's like, how could she say no to a puppy? Like, how could she say no to her daughter?
Yeah.
Well, she says no through Rory. And Rory either puts the pieces together or confirms what she had eavesdropped before or overheard. Mm-hmm. And straight up asks her mom, he proposed to you, right? Like,
yeah. Oof. I think Lorelai hits the nail on the head with her answer, though.
Yeah.
I think she really truly recognizes, like, Chris is not ready for this.
No.
It's like, I want this and I need this. And it's like, I'm ready for a puppy. And then you get the puppy and you're like, it's peeing and pooping all over the floor and I don't know how to train it and I don't know how to do this. It's like, Chris is a peeing on the floor puppy.
Right? Lorelai knows that she can't handle a grown man pet.
So here's my thing, right? These people, Lorelai and Christopher, are 3 years older than me, right? In present time.
Yeah.
And I'm closer to Christopher.
I'm the same age.
I know. I was thinking about that, Emily. I was like, oh my gosh, Emily is this age.
I am closer to Christopher.
Can you imagine
than
having a 16-year-old?
And I could not imagine having a 16-year-old kid right now. Not at all.
Yeah.
So I was at Charlie's gymnastics class earlier today, and so about a half hour after her started, they had a cheer class. It was probably between, like, 12 and 16-year-old girls doing this. So, like, I can't even imagine if one of those older girls was my kid.
Yeah.
Like, at 32.
Oh. I feel like I was a baby.
I was a 3-year-old, and I still feel like I'm unprepared for this.
23, I still felt like a teenager, so, like, I can't imagine having a kid.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No.
But I mean, it goes to show how, like, how hard Lorelai has worked to get to this point, to be where she's at, to be in a place where she can turn down a marriage proposal from her, you know, her kid's dad, where she knows that there's better out there for her.
And she'll be okay. Because
I think a lot of people, a lot of people who are in this position where they have a child very young and they do get trapped into something or they do have to give up, you know, their future, they don't have these options that Lorelai has.
Yeah.
But Rory really wants it.
Yeah, which is fair, right? It's fair to want your parents to be together, but I think she also, we've been talking a lot about Rory's emotional intelligence. I think that Rory, you know, she wants it. She's very open with her mom about it, but I think she also takes it very well, right? She's disappointed, but she doesn't hold it against her mom.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, our last scene of this episode, I find a little controversial. I don't know about you guys, but Lorelai goes, or Luke goes to his diner, apparently coming back from whatever apartment he owns right now. And walks in, and his diner is painted. And
I am so worried about Lorelai's ability to paint. Because she covered. She is covered. And none of the colors on her are on anything. Like, where did these colors come from?
Well, maybe they're her painting clothes. You know, maybe they were pre-painty. But
what I was going to say,
for me, this is, like, the saving grace of the episode. Yes. I think, I understand where you're coming from with, like, was it appropriate for Lorelai literally break into his...
I don't mind about that. It's just that I feel like she robbed them of the date.
Yeah. It was gonna be a date.
Yeah.
Did it yourself.
Yeah.
That sounds dirty.
Well, I think her... It really was. I think her perspective is like, I'm gonna make this right.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she's just trying to right the wrong. She's trying to not be a rat, as she has called herself. I do wish we'd gotten to see a paint date. I think it could have been cute. But I also don't think that Luke would have signed on for a paint date. You know?
Yeah,
I think he would have held that grudge, and he would have just kept the paint in the back, and it would have just sat there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So maybe she had to do it. No, she definitely had to do it herself.
Yeah.
I'm just sad we didn't get the date. The paint date.
But, I mean, it also gives her the opportunity to be like, he's gone.
Yeah. And she's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was happy painting that. I don't know if it's because she likes to paint or because Christopher's gone, but regardless, she was happy.
But I mean, like, the overall effect to show up and be like, I'm here, I'm doing this for you. The guy is gone and I chose to come here and do this, right? Like, that says a lot.
She obviously really cares about him, regardless if whatever romantic, yes or no, she cares about him. He's her friend. And messed up real bad.
Yeah. Also, so Emily, you brought up her painting abilities. I'm trying to think about, when does the bread guy get there? Let's say this is a really early bread delivery.
Yeah.
Let's say it's like a 4 a.m. bread delivery, right?
Yeah.
So Lorelai waits outside of the diner all night waiting for potentially a delivery, gets in, and I mean, if Luke is opening the diner at this point, maybe it's 6 o'clock, right? What time does a diner have to open?
It's probably like
5 o'clock.
How quick
did she paint?
And you know what's...
She had to have freaking flied through that.
By herself, and she painted, I mean, like, all, like, the cubbies are emptied out from the mug wall. Mm-hmm. Like, you're telling me she painted everything?
That's a lot
of work.
Maybe
it's a nighttime bread delivery? You know, maybe it's, like, an 11 o'clock bread delivery, and she painted all night long?
Doesn't sound right.
It's just, but there's so much paint that had to be done.
What's funny is that she didn't have to wait for a delivery at all. Luke keeps the key atop of the door frame.
Yeah.
She doesn't know this yet.
But she does a great job. I mean, it almost looks like, you know, a professional team of, I don't know, set painters.
Oh, yeah, painted probably. This. Most likely, actually. I'm gonna say, Jess, you're right in there.
Yeah.
But Luke's is finally painted, so it
looks great.
It looked pretty dingy for the past couple episodes, so... Good for Luke Steiner. I hope it gets a lot of business.
I do love that Luke is immediately trying to take down the chairs and get ready for the day, and the entire bar top is covered in paint cans and stuff.
There's nothing available.
He's going to be... That's going to be an hour of her trying to get stuff out of his way and him being grumpy at her.
And the fumes.
Like, I wish we could just see that.
That would have been a great scene.
Yeah.
I need to open. You need to get this stuff out of here.
And you know he's going to put on a pot of coffee, and she's going to be, like, sitting there with a mug ready to go.
And he's going to be like, clean my diner.
Put my mugs back where they go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mug wall that Sandra never noticed.
There it is. So, kind of a mixed bag episode. It's, I mean, predominantly a bummer episode with, like, one shining moment at the very end.
All right, well...
And a very small glimmer in the middle with the Emily-Rory conversation.
Yes.
Very small.
So, Townsperson of the Week. I'll be honest, I didn't see any character being Townsperson of the Week, so I'm going to throw this off to you guys. How about you, Jess?
I think I have one, okay. And it's, like, the only person who was... I mean, to be completely honest, if I was going to go for, like, the only person who is completely blameless in this episode, it's Rory, right? Yeah. Like, Rory survived this. Emily had that one shining moment, right, of, like, being a very positive maternal figure to Rory. I don't know if it's enough to give her Townsperson of the Week, though. Emily, do you have strong thoughts?
My only thought was Rory, because she had... a very rough episode in terms of like guilt being put onto her, and I feel like she still handled it very well with grace. She sees the potential of her dad wants to marry her mom, and she still accepts that with
very
grace,
innocent.
Even though it's not the answer that she wants. I guess my only I agree with you. Emily overshadows that one moment by like basically wanting to pretend that the past never happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I had, if Richard would not have had that conversation with Lorelai, it would have been Richard for me.
Yeah.
Because the defense.
Right.
And as much as I love happy Richard, he still did the same thing that Emily did of just wanting to pretend that everything's happy and hunky-dory now, and we're going to pretend that we haven't treated Lorelai like crap for her entire life because the gang's all back together.
Yeah. I was actually going to agree with you guys with Rory. Because I do, although she didn't do anything spectacular, like, she didn't do anything, she
You know what? No, I would say that she did something really spectacular in the terms of how she dealt with this at 16 mm-hmm. years
That's
old.
That's yeah.
Fair. Like, you have a lot of hormones and emotions going on it's at rough. That age, and she still handled it very well.
All right, townsperson of the week is Rory, who had a really rough week, but she came out swinging at the end, and
yes,
yeah,
she's okay, and she's going to be okay with her mom.
Do we have a reference this week?
We do. So, I completely forget when alfalfa is mentioned.
I didn't even catch the alfalfa reference.
It's really early on, right?
Okay, so the reference of the week this week is when the softball game is happening. And Kirk is heckling Luke and Dean, and it's pretty funny until it's not. But at one point, he calls Luke and Dean Zero. He says, you can be Luke Zero and Dean Zero. And Luke says, that doesn't even resemble clever. And Kirk says, I'm dumbing it down for you, Alfalfa. So, Alfalfa is a character from the Rascals short comedy films. They were made from 1922 to 1944, and they were popularly known as Our Gang films. And these stories were about a group of poor children and their adventures around the neighborhood. And these kids were, they were good actors. They were just naturally playing together. And it's actually one of the first shows that shows black and white kids playing together and, like, as equals.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So, one of the most popular characters was Alfalfa. He went from side character to lead character. That's how popular he was. And he had a little romance with another girl named Darla.
Mm-hmm.
And so, possibly what Kirk meant by this was because he was so obsessed with Darla in the show, maybe he's catching on how Luke feels about Lorelai. Maybe he's making some kind of joke with that. But Alfalfa wasn't really dumb, so not quite sure where you're coming from there with Kirk. But regardless.
Maybe it's just because he was a kid.
Maybe.
I mean,
Alfalfa was really young.
Maybe it's because of his hair.
Yeah.
Because Alfalfa was very much known for having that little spike of hair that always went up. And
and as we all know, Luke always wears a ball cap to hide his little alfalfa spike.
So,
new canon. That's why he has a hat.
So, yeah, this was
it is canon.
This was a show during the 50s and then the 80s. During the 80s, it was actually also a television show. Like an animated television show. And in 1994, a movie I watched many a time, it was released as The Little mm-hmm. Rascals. And that was Alfalfa. Don't quite know why Kirk called him that, but you know, we're just going to go with it.
Yeah. Kirk was heckling. I mean, maybe, I'll be honest, I've never heckled. Maybe it's kind of, you know, putting yourself on the spot. Maybe he was kind of running out of things to say.
He just picked the character.
And as we already touched on, there is one big old book this episode, and let's see what Emily has to say about it.
Reading books with Emily.
So, of course, we have the infamous, I guess, compact Oxford English Dictionary. So there's not a whole lot about the compact version itself. It is a two-book edition of the initial Oxford English Dictionary. So the price of the compact version can range anywhere between, I saw it from $300 to mid to high $400 range.
For just the two volumes of the dictionary?
For two volumes of a dictionary, yes.
What I found was
holy
$476.
Cow.
Yes. I found one that I think, I found one for $399. I think there was one on Amazon for like $450. And then I think I saw the one you were talking about, Sander, for like $480-ish.
Oh my gosh.
So the Oxford English Dictionary work began on that in 1857. And it was finally published in 1884. It built up, but so in 1989, the second edition came out with 21,728 pages in 20 volumes. In 2000, I can only assume this would be the one Rory was wanting, a third edition started. The second edition would be the one that Rory wanted. In 2000, a third edition was started, and approximately half of it has been completed as of 2018.
Wow.
Jeez. Well, I remember, like, when certain words make their way into the dictionary. You know, you hear that, like, in the vernacular, like, EVOO, like, was going to make it into the dictionary, because Rachel Ray was saying it all the time. Like, can you imagine how many new words are, like, coined and need to be added every year?
Well, that's why we have UrbanDictionary.com now.
Yes.
It's not official. But yeah, so this book started out of Oxford. It is the principal historical dictionary of the English language, published by Oxford University Press. Started in the mid-1800s, been going strong ever since on two editions. Working on the third, 20 years later, we're probably a little over halfway through.
Oh my gosh.
And yes, you do legitimately need a magnifying glass to read it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to. That's crazy.
Why would Rory want
that? I'm trying
to
think about it. Yeah, like, I mean, she reads a lot of obscure books. Well, I mean, not so obscure, but she reads a lot of, like, books that have pretty high-level language, so maybe that would be the reason.
But see, like, I always consider English to be in two parts. There's literature, and then there's language, right? And she obviously likes the literature part of it. I haven't seen her like the language part of it that much, but I guess this is indicating that she does.
Yeah.
So I think she definitely does. So I think I saw on Amazon, the compact version has, I think, 4,500 pages.
Wow. That's a lot of pages.
Crazy.
What do you do with that? Like, who just reads the dictionary?
Do you think, well, and I mean, this is kind of a plot question. Do you think that Andrew specifically ordered a copy of this because of Rory?
Yes. I was thinking that earlier in the episode. I have a feeling that maybe Rory had asked him to order earlier in the episode, and she's been saving up for it.
Yeah.
So that maybe he was literally just waiting for her to come in and get it. And then, you know, Chris.
You think Rory gets an allowance?
Well, she works at the inn.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She makes money that way. That's yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. So maybe she said she wanted to order it, or maybe she even mentioned it. And, like, small town bookstore guy, it might be worth it to bring something in if the town's favorite girl wants it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Rory is the golden child of this town.
I gotta tell you guys, that was never on my list of wishes as a teen.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to read this book.
It's okay. That's fair. Understand. Also, a nearly $500 book is a heavy price.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I feel like Rory gets more expensive books in the future from, like,
Oh,
Richard.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. But, like, to ask of someone, like, what I'm trying to say is, although Christopher's business is failing, and that's on him.
We don't know that.
Yes. A $500 ask is not a normal ask of a middle-class father.
No, but I would also, I said I will never defend Christopher.
God.
I will never
is
defend Christopher, but so he says, you know, if you could get any book, what would it be? And she says, oh, you know, the compact Oxford English Dictionary. And then he turns to Andrew immediately and says, I want this book.
Yeah, you showing off.
So I don't know if she knew that he was going to do this.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if he knew how much
how
it cost.
Much?
He might have been expecting it to be a $50 book.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
oh, it's going to be $75?
And so that's possibly
that.
Why his card declined, right? I know that I, like, my first credit card that I got had a $500 limit. And, like, if I tried to buy anything over it, it declined.
Yeah.
So, like, it's reasonable that he wasn't expecting that big of a charge. But either way,
it's
bummer.
A dictionary. That costs nearly $500.
It's a dictionary.
I would just say I agree with the fact that I don't think Chris anticipated her response or, like, how much that book would actually be. Because, and then Andrew never told him the price. He just hands him the card.
That's true, too.
Yeah. But what a book.
Yeah. So, we have the compact Oxford English Dictionary, which has a fantastic definition, I'm sure, for fashion.
Welcome to Jess's Fashion Corner.
All right, so we start off this episode with the girls in the same outfits that they ended the last episode in, mm-hmm. with Lorelai in her red long sleeve tee, Rory in the blue tee, because they have essentially taken Christopher from the grocery store to their home.
It's much later.
Chris, however,
I don't know.
You should have just left. It is. There.
Yeah, it's like nighttime because he's getting ready for bed.
Several hours have passed.
And he's had time to change into some dad shorts. Just some, you know, khaki shorts and a gray shirt.
So, sorry, I might be jumping ahead because I literally don't remember. But at some point, he's wearing a pair of sweats that have just been cut off as shorts.
That might be what I'm looking at. They might be sleep shorts. I may be...
Maybe they're Lorelai's.
Gosh, I hope not. Yeah, you know what? They're not khaki. They are sweats that have been cut off.
I saw them... And I immediately thought of my husband, who is a dad, and I was like, he would love those.
So, you know how when you have jean shorts, they're called jorts? Mm-hmm. Are these swarts?
Sure.
Can we cut that?
I mean, you're editing, so we'll see.
Oh no, that's staying.
Anyway, the next scene we see is the softball scene, where Rory is dressed, you know, very American teenager. She's got a red hoodie on. There don't appear to be any kind of team colors, so it's not like she's supporting Dean or anything. Chris is wearing his leather jacket, and I will never defend Chris, but I will accept that he's hot, and I will say he wears a leather jacket so much better than Dean does.
I love
so much better
that I hate Dean so much, and you hate Christopher so much. Because every time we're like,
we all have.
I'm never going to defend this guy, but
I don't know this for sure. But can you have a? I'm assuming you can have a leather jacket tailored to fit you.
I mean, if you have money, you can get anything made custom.
Because this jacket looks like it has been tailored to fit.
It fits really well.
Yeah.
Whereas Dean's leather jacket is just like it just like I'm really tall. I need an extra large.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. So my boyfriend and I were at a store one time, and he tried on a leather jacket that fit him the way that this jacket fits Chris, and he didn't end up buying it because there was like other stuff going on at the time. Both of us to this day still regret him not buying that jacket.
So what you're saying is your boyfriend has the perfect body for a leather, for a standard made leather jacket.
I won't deny it. Moving on.
The dirty episode.
I would mention that Kirk is wearing the most boring, bland, like, outfit I've ever seen. He's got, like, cords and, like, a gray-on-gray combo. Just kind of a bummer. The boys who are out there playing sports with a capital S and an apostrophe, you've got Dean in his big, oversized, baggy track pants. He's got a shirt with a G on it. I didn't know if that was, like, a sports thing or a Gatorade thing or what.
He's just rapping Gatorade.
But we do have, as has already been pointed out, we do have a very grungy looking Luke out there on the field. Luke is wearing a red t-shirt layered over like a purple sweatshirt and the gray sweatpants. Gray sweatpant fam, where are you at? We all know what it do. He's also got his blue baseball cap on because, you know, he's out there playing sports. It's just kind of a sad look all around. Everybody looks wet and miserable. Nobody wants to be at the softball game. Unlike the kitchen of the inn, where everybody's having a good time until Lorelai shows up. Is it because she's wearing the world's tightest turtleneck white sweater? Maybe. Maybe.
She looks fantastic.
Yeah, I actually really like this, the white turtleneck.
I just didn't like the neck. The neck is too tight and too tall for me. Suki looks great in a pink bandana. I always like to point out her pink bandanas. And I mean, like, it should just go without saying at this point. If we see Michelle on screen, he looks
He's
good.
He's rocking a suit, man.
Like, it's not even worth saying. He always looks great. He's always sharp and on point. Lorelai's hair in this episode, I want to point out, is so, like, voluptuous and curly and bouncy. It's a little bit springy in this particular scene, but it gets better throughout the episode. I love her headband. It's just like a fun, almost like a snakeskin kind of print. She looks very chic for cold weather. We do get a brief Patty moment. And as I've said in a previous episode, we love a Patty scarf moment. We love a Patty moo moo moment. Patty's out here hitting on dads, and she's doing it in a big purpley red ensemble. Very theatrical, very fun. You guys knew I was going to bring up Jackson, right?
What? Why?
I love the way this man dresses. Jackson's in the bookstore in his red plaid overcoat with his overalls and a green tie-dye shirt. Andrew is also wearing something kind of interesting in this scene. He's got like an oversized striped scarf. Honestly, it looks like something that Rory would wear. Which I think is kind of funny, especially because apparently Andrew lives around the corner. Maybe they swap striped sweaters. Maybe he borrowed
a sweater.
Right? Exactly.
Just really feeling stripes today, Rory. You have a sweater, right?
Brief honorable mention to Luke for, I mean, looking like Luke, putting the pad in the front of his pants. We can't get enough. He is in kind of a darker color palette in this scene, right before we have Christopher come into the
diner. Like, really well.
Oh, yeah, he looks great. But we've just seen a lot of lighter colors on Luke, and so it's nice to kind of see a slight color palette change for him. And maybe that is because it's kind of a darker episode for Luke. Emily on the phone looks phenomenal.
Yes.
She's in a blue suit with pearls. Oh my gosh. Stunning. Her hair, stunning. Kelly is like eating it up in this scene. I love it.
I fully agree. Emily looks just gorgeous and like true to Emily. She just looks fantastic here.
Yes, absolutely. And then we get to Friday night dinner, or Friday night's all right for fighting kind of vibes. Christopher shows up in, you know, khaki pants, a black jacket, red tie. We have to assume it's just whatever he brought with him.
Yeah.
You know, he probably, I don't know how he packed, but he brought one nice outfit and here it is. Rory honestly looks kind of casual this Friday. She's got like a green sweater on. We see her in a lot of dresses for Friday night dinners, you know, dresses and cardigans, cute little sweater sets. So it felt interesting that she was so dressed down for meeting her, or re-meeting her grandparents.
Yeah.
Her other grandparents, I should say. But I think really the shining star of this evening is Lorelai's outfit. What do you guys think about Lorelai's outfit? I think, I'll tell you, I love it.
I love the boots. Oh, it's really
good. Yes.
I think she looks great in it. I think it fits her really well without being too tight. It's very flattering. It's a good color combo. It's one instance where we see the different shades of red working well together.
Yes, which we have not seen in the past. I love the skirt. The skirt feels, again, very 2000s, where it's got that kind of, like, it looks like it could have been part of some, maybe like a Chinese or like Japanese inspired print. It's really pretty. That was very hot during the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And then the little keyhole in front, it's like flirty without being over the top. Again, her hair is perfect. Mm-hmm. Her hair continues to be perfect even after they have sex on the balcony.
And when she wakes
up. They've stuck a leaf in it. Yeah. And when she wakes up, it's perfect.
That just means she has excellent products.
Yeah, really, she does. She knows the right stuff. As far as what the grandparents are wearing, because the grandparents play a big role in this episode, Emily is in a very dark, you know, skirt suit, which I thought was kind of interesting. Again, we're getting a lot of dark colors. Richard looks like Richard. He's got a bow tie. He's got a brown jacket or a gray jacket. I wanted to look at what Straub and Francine are wearing. So Francine is wearing a very, they both look very buttoned up to me. This doesn't look like a casual dinner. It doesn't look like it's a family dinner to me. You know, Straub's got like a full tie all the way done up. Francine's wearing, I guess I would call it maybe like a green skirt suit set. And she has a matching purse. This lady is even more coordinated than Emily is.
I feel like she's very reminiscent of what Emily wears, though.
Yes, absolutely. They're
very, very similar in terms of fashion. I can see Emily wearing that.
Yes. These two actors in these costumes would have fit in perfectly at, like, the weird Christmas dinner with friends.
Yes.
Like, they absolutely blend into that whole family. I don't know if you guys can tell. I'm kind of rushing through to get to my favorite outfit of the episode.
Oh, yeah?
Which is Lorelai's pajamas. I love Lorelai's pajamas. Do you guys have a pair of pajamas that are full long sleeve long pants? Because I got one for the first time this Christmas. I love them.
I do not.
I have a onesie.
Ooh.
Would be the extent of what I have.
I mean, I love a onesie. But before I owned a pair of these kind of pajamas, and mine are very similar to Lorelai's. They're the same sky blue. Mine have cats and dogs on them. Lorelai's have some kind of creature. Are they flamingos? I paused and unpaused. There's maybe little men in hats or something. Either way,
before I owned these. I thought they were kind of like Valentine's Day theme, but I thought like hearts.
Like hearts? And there's something red and something pink, and there's lace. And yeah, maybe little people wearing gloves.
You know what she also has on? A shearling jacket.
A shearling coat!
It's a new one.
It is! And honestly, I think it's cute.
It's better than, I think. No, I like the blue one.
I think this one's way better than the blue one. I think her blue one is more casual, but the blue one would have looked ridiculous over top of these PJs. And?
Okay, wait. So, in the conversation with Luke.
Yes.
This is some kind of, like, bakery. Because, so you kind of get a close-up when she's talking to Luke in front of the diner. There's, like, cupcakes and little cakes on it, and I think it's, like, bakers.
Oh, that's cute.
That are all over this. And you do clearly see a heart, like, on the pants. So it's some kind of Valentine's bakery.
Valentine's cookie kind of thing? That's really cute.
It is. It's interesting.
One of my all-time favorite items that Luke owns has also returned in this scene, which is his puffy vest. Mm-hmm. I love Luke in his puffy vest. Previously, I felt like it made him look huggable. In this, it kind of makes it feel like it's like armor, right? It's just like a little bit of a space between him and Lorelai.
Is he wearing the blue cap?
He is wearing the blue cap.
He's still wearing the blue cap. Okay.
He's still wearing the blue cap. We see Christopher briefly in the kitchen where he's all, I want to marry you.
Casual.
In a sweater. Very casual. You can't ask somebody to marry you in a sweater. No, you can ask somebody to marry you in a sweater. You just have to do it with somebody who actually loves you.
Shame the final.
I think these are I Love Lucy pajamas.
Are they?
In the scene where she's fighting with Christopher, I think in the front right, there's I love Luke. Okay, you keep talking. I'm going to Google
Instagram.
Emily is sleuthing the fashion for me. Thank you. In our final shot of Rory in this episode, we have her in a shearling jacket. And we have Lorelai in a very cute, very casual, blue-striped, kind of thin hoodie under a denim jacket. I absolutely love it. Denim jackets have become, like, the biggest staple of my wardrobe over the past 10 years. And honestly, I think that the denim jacket softens Lorelai, whereas her leather jackets kind of serve to, like, toughen her up. And I liked this. It is a soft moment. It's, you know, saying goodbye to Christopher and kind of breaking Rory's heart. But I have been heard on this very podcast saying that I don't especially love Lauren's bandanas. I love, 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 love Lorelai's paint outfit.
She looked really adorable.
It's so cute. She looks great. The bandana fits perfectly with the vibe. It's a purple bandana. She's got layered blue t-shirts, some black jeans, some little blue tennis shoes. She looks like she's been up all night painting or all morning painting, depending on the timeline. But yeah, I think it's really cute. I think it's a great end of the episode. End on something fun, something casual.
Emily has found the pajamas.
They are Nick and Nora I Love Lucy pajamas. Are they available right now? No, they've sold.
They were listed for $275.
Wow.
That's insane. Emily found these on Poshmark.
Oh, I
They're
get
the exact
it. It's the
pajamas for sure.
It's the chocolates during I Love Lucy.
They are super cute.
Yeah. They are really cute, yeah.
So, if you are looking for a pair of the same pajamas as Lorelai, they are the brand Nick and Nora I Love Lucy pajamas.
They cost almost as much as a dictionary.
$275 is a little bit much for pajamas, but
to be fair, they were new with tags still attached.
That makes it better.
So, I mean, I guess that kind of helps.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fashion. I feel like it was definitely not a fashion-focused episode. We didn't have, you know, a special dress. We didn't have any special items that, you know, were highlighted. It was all about the drama, and the clothes were definitely secondary in this particular episode.
With that in mind, why don't we go over to Stars Hollow Speaks? So we got a short little Instagram message, which I encourage everyone to do, from Park Elk, or LKP, and they say, Christopher is charming, but he always shows up at the worst possible time for the Gilmore Girls. Which is so true.
Yes.
Yeah. If Chris has a superpower, it's showing up at the wrong time.
Oh man, it really is.
Christopher is like the evil deus ex machina of the Gilmore world.
But he is charming. He knows how to charm.
Yes. Charms everybody in Stars Hollow. And Carrie has a good point about that. Our good friend Carrie has, of course, sent us all of her insights. And about Christopher and being in Stars Hollow, she says, we see everyone in Stars Hollow loving the gossip on why Rory's dad has finally appeared in Stars Hollow. Does anyone else not think it's a bit weird after how long they've lived in this town? Chris has never been to Stars Hollow before. They've lived there Rory's whole life. How have they been able to maintain a relationship when he hasn't been there before? Has it always been one-sided, where Lore has had to make the effort for them to have a relationship? Or what happened? I can never really remember an episode where this has been explained, minus how he calls every now and then. In my head, I've always wondered how often have they actually seen each other in that time. We've seen Lore question Christopher to why he is really there, and he says it's due to his business doing so well, and that he wants to have more to do with Rory.
Yeah, the rest of it is...
That's a really great point.
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
How? Because, like, the thing was always, like, holidays, mm-hmm. right? Like, Easter. Mm-hmm. But where are they doing holidays? It's They're definitely not doing it at
place.
But isn't he in California?
Yes. So this doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me that they have to go to California? No. I can't imagine they have that kind of travel money.
I bet it's at Richard and Emily's.
Yeah, maybe they just go to Hartford.
Yep. Yeah. I bet Chris goes there because he gets such a warm welcome from mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
You know, why do you go to your own parent, you know, Strobe and Francine kind of suck. Go to Richard and Emily, who like you for giving them a grandchild.
And honestly, I mean, we know that the holidays are like the Gilmore's times, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like the whole beginning of the season where it's not, you know, what holidays in September?
Yeah, like, and if the implication that they spent Easter together, but she also spent mm-hmm. Easter with the Gilmores, then that Gilmore's. Means Christopher was there.
How strange that, I mean, even that he was that close, right? Depending on which episode you're listening to, it's either 30 or 40 minutes by bus.
Yeah.
That he never went to see where they lived.
I mean, I guess that's why Rory thinks,
like,
it's different.
I thought it was weird that Richard and Emily hadn't seen it, but, like, Rory's dad?
Yeah.
Like, to never see where his daughter's growing up?
Especially if he's supposedly doing weekly phone calls?
Like, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm thinking back, like, my mom moved around quite a bit when I was young, and I don't think he saw, like, the inside of every house by any means, but, like, he at least knew where we lived and would, like, take us and drop us off and pick us up and stuff. Like, he at least knew the place well enough to know where it is and stuff, but, like, to just never be there.
Yeah, really good food for thought. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carrie. It is really weird when you think about, like, the logistics of this. So thank you for writing in, and thank you to everybody who is still liking and commenting and sending us messages. Mm-hmm. We love it.
Yay.
So Lorelai had quite an episode, I would say. And yes. I've kind of gotten that whenever she has an episode, in quotes, she drinks more coffee.
Yeah.
And she drank 4 cups of coffee. Which is definitely a departure from the zeros that's been happening.
Yeah, finally.
Mm-hmm. Rory drinks none. No coffee for Rory, but Lorelai does have those 4 cups of coffee. And denies 1 cup. Although,
I was
literally 5 minutes later, she gets it.
All right. I mean, it's nice to get back into the coffee, mm-hmm. right? It was weird to go no coffee for a couple episodes.
Yep. So the girls caffeinated.
Especially with
again.
Like the series still setting itself up. It's still the first season. It's still early. It feels kind of weird
in season one of all times to go episodes without coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been kind of a supersized episode, but Christopher, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of feelings about Christopher.
Christopher has returned.
That he has.
And I will never defend him.
And I will never like Dean, damn it.
Well,
I'm gonna sit over here in my own world.
As always, I have been Jessica.
Wow, full Jessica.
I know. I mean, ooh, we're going to get formal here at the end.
I have been Sandra.
Y'all know me
as Jess. It was a very formal dinner.
I have been Sandra.
And this is Emily.
Thanks for listening, guys.
This was Christopher's return.
He has returned, and we are leaving. Goodbye.
We'll see you in the next episode.
One day we'll get that right.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening today. Please feel free to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at townmeetingpod or shoot us an email at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys.